listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Did you hear that? They want to throw Jesus off of a cliff today. Jesus, they want to throw him off a cliff. What is that about? I think at first glance, at first read, these hometown Nazarenes seem like foaming at the mouth lunatics. They need to calm down. I mean, come on, this is Jesus. They need to pay attention to what Jesus was saying. Surely we could never want to do the same thing. But let's dig a little bit deeper here. One of the most striking things about this text is this drastic transformation that the crowd goes through in only a matter of verses. Did you catch that? I mean, in verse 22, it says, all spoke well of him. They were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Only 7 verses later, they got up, drove him out of town so that they might hurl him off a cliff. What happened there? They don't just want to banish him. They already want to kill him. Obviously, this is a foreshadowing of what comes later, that drastic change that happens in the crowd in Jerusalem, maybe some of the same people. On Palm Sunday, their hosannas really quickly turn to crucify him, crucify him. At first glance, these hometown Nazarenes might seem like foaming at the mouth lunatics, but we dig a little deeper. Jesus continues both to root himself and also to show his mastery of the Hebrew scriptures in this text today. Last week, remember, he unrolled the scroll and he read from the prophet Isaiah. Now, just a few verses later, he's citing events from the time of Elijah and Elisha. And this is where things really start to get dicey. Jesus has just proclaimed that today good news goes to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, liberty to the oppressed, and the wiping out of debts. That was our text last week, remember? Sounds pretty good, right? Good stuff. Pretty idealistic, pretty heavenly and out of this world, though, right? That's a nice message to reflect on, to dream about. But now Jesus starts to actually flesh it out. And this is where he gets into trouble. That's what Jesus is all about, after all. Fleshing it out. And this is where things start to get dicey. The truth is, Jesus says, when there was a famine, there were many widows, but Elijah was sent to none of them but a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. Do you know what the widow at Zarephath in Sidon represents? She is no doubt nameless. She represents the absolute, most ignored, invisible, tiniest, powerless, voiceless, nameless member of God's entire creation. The widow at Zarephath. She is deemed by all others as totally worthless and meaningless. She's definitely not a threat. She is just a nothing. She doesn't matter. But she is the first and the only one that God reaches for, Jesus tells us. And if that's not upsetting enough, Jesus fires it up even more, turns up the temperature, inciting the crowd by citing Elisha and Naaman the Syrian leper. Do you know what Naaman the Syrian leper represents? Far more invasive than a nameless, invisible widow, Syrian lepers represent the most hated, the most ugly, the most despicable, the most dangerous with his disease. He is an absolute threat. He is the sickest of the sick. He is the meanest of the mean. He is the ugliest of the ugly, the most dangerous of the dangerous, the foreignest of the foreigners. He is the enemy of the world. He is your enemy. and my enemy. He is our worst nightmare, as far from God as we could imagine, and the last one we would ever want around us. But he is the first and the only one that God cures. So is this crowd really so crazy? This is upsetting news. This is news that turns the comfortable hometown of Nazareth, on its head. And they want nothing to do with being turned on their head, do they? How dare he, this Jesus? So they try to turn Jesus on his head. First, they discredit him a little bit. Isn't this Joseph's son? We knew him back when. He can really cut someone down. We knew him when he was just a little boy. Well, Jesus keeps moving. So then they try to kill him. They try to throw him off a cliff. But here's the thing. He keeps moving again. The text says in this curious last verse for our text today, Jesus passes through them and goes on his way. How weird is that? They're about to toss him off a cliff, and then it just casually says, but Jesus passes through them and goes on his way. We don't know exactly what that means or how that happened, except that Jesus somehow goes on despite all their anxiety and rage. Jesus longs to have them on board, but he goes on with or without their participation. Are our cups upside down or are they open, like we did with the children? Ultimately, that's the really good news for us this day. It means that we have no say and no power in who and how and when God's love touches and heals the edges of this world. God's embrace is so cosmic, it even stretches to the widowest of the widows and the leperest of the lepers. If you really want to flesh this text out yourself this week, imagine who for you is the widowest of the widows and the leperest of the lepers. Who for you is so invisible you can hardly even bring them to mind right now? Maybe it's the 10-year-old orphan in Indonesia. Don't ask me what his name is. Remember when that tsunami hit Indonesia so many years ago? He lost his parents in the tsunami of 2004. Now all the aid and all the attention has gone other places, or it's dried up, and this boy is trying to raise himself. Or what about even beyond our own species? What about the yellow-spotted tree frog, which is critically endangered? Or the hundreds of thousands of other voiceless, nameless plants and animal species that are not threatening us, but are certainly being threatened by extinction? This gospel text tells us that these are where God goes. These are where God sends the prophets, to the very, very edges. But none of those really threaten us at the moment. The widowest of the widows. If you really want to flesh this text out, then imagine who for you the real lepers are. Who do you despise? Who disgusts you? Who makes you want to run in the other direction? Who would you be content to live the rest of your days and never have to deal with ever again? Don't say it out loud. It could be a sick person, someone you just don't want to touch, like the leper. Could be a dangerous person. Could be someone whose way of life is absolutely disgusting to you. Could be someone who, in fact, makes a threat upon your own security or the security of your favorite people. Could be a Democrat. Could be a Republican. Could be a Muslim. Could be a Christian. Could be a gay person. Could be a straight person. It could be a member of your own family. It could be someone who has wronged you in the past. It could be a pastor or a member of the church or a colleague at work. That's who Naaman the Syrian leper stands for, sisters and brothers in Christ. And this text tells us that this leper is who God comforts and cleanses first. Now we know why they want to kill Jesus. Because for him, faith, hope, and love abide, and the greatest of these is love. I don't care who you are, how holy you are, and you're good people here. This is tough stuff. Because if we're willing to do the work on this, to think about this, to pray on this week, we've all got a widow and a leper who are very real for us. We've all got anxieties and anger like that crowd long ago. And we've all got a God moving through us mysteriously. A Christ who, with or without our consent, loves this whole world and the farthest reaches of it. Jesus has made his mission clear now. And Jesus has made his invitation to us in that mission clear. Jesus passes right through us now, right through this place, inviting us always today. Help us, God. Help us not to want to throw this Jesus off the cliff for what he's saying here, so that we can keep it our own way. Help us, God, to get on board with this Jesus who moves in our midst in this place today. The gospel train is leaving the station. The scripture has been fleshed out in our hearing and will be fleshed out soon in our tasting. Thanks be to God. The living Christ in and through our midst longs to have us on board, but friends, goes on with or without our participation. And ultimately, that's the best news of all. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.